Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Megillah Daf Chaf Aleph, the last daf of the second parak and first daf of the third parak of Maseches Megillah. We left off yesterday on the second line from the bottom on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. Also sponsored by Morris Massel as well as Karen Benson, Liz Chusser for Shalema for Simcha Bin Yamin HaKohen, Ben Yocheveni Shalever for Shalema. And of course we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we were in the middle of discussing yesterday how it is that we know that all of the mitzvot that the Mishnah had mentioned that are done b'yom, dafka have to be done b'yom, and then the Gemara is going to finish off the parak with a discussion that the Mishnah gave a klal at the end. After giving dozens of examples, or over a dozen examples, the Mishnah says, zeh haklal, davar shemitzvos b'yom, kasher kol yom, davar shemitzvos b'layla, kasher kol layla. Whenever we give a klal, it always means to be including something else that's not mentioned in the prat, that's not mentioned in the details that were given. So the Gemara is going to discuss what the Zeh HaKlal is coming to add. And then Be'ez Hashem will begin the third parak. And the Mishnah is going to talk about whether one sits or stands for Kriyas HaMegillah and for Kriyas HaTorah, how many Aliyos there should be during Kriyas HaTorah at different times, whether it be a weekday, whether it be Rosh Chodesh, whether it be Chol HaMoed or Shabbos or Yom Tov, how many Aliyos there should be for Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara is going to tell us whether Limud HaTorah it has to be done standing up or sitting down. And then the Gemara is going to have four different shittos. How to reconcile the psukim about Moshe Rabbeinu during Kabbalah Satorah. Was Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was learning the Torah for the first time, was he sitting or standing? Then the Gemara is going to tell us that about the brachos on the Megillah, before the Megillah and after the Megillah, and the very concept of reciting a bracha over La Asiyasan. The Gemara is going to tell us why it is that we have to have a minimum of three aliyos every time you learn from the Torah, why it is you have to have a minimum of 10 psukim every time you're laid from the Torah. So as you're probably realizing, a lot of very esoteric topics in today's daf. You could spend a lot of time in today's daf. The Gemara is going to talk about why it is that when we get an aliyah bizman hazeh, we have one person, we have every single ola make a bracha both before and after the aliyah. It used to not be that way. It used to be the first guy would say a bracha before the first aliyah, and last guy would say a bracha after the last aliyah. But you wouldn't have people saying brachos before and after each and every aliyah. So let's begin. Again, we're on Chaf Amud Beis, the second to last line of the page. Ula Hashkayas Sota at the very end of the page. So how do I know this din, that Hashkayas Sota, that giving a sota to drink is something that can be done all day and only during the day? Asya Torah. It's a Gzeirah Shava that says Torah in two contexts. Ksiv Hacha by Parsha Sota, it says Va'asala Koin is called HaTorah Hazos Uksiv Hasam. And when it comes to Mishpat, when it comes to judgment, it says Al Pi HaTorah Asher Yerucha V'Ala Mishpat. So Ma Mishpat Bayom, just like Beis Din convenes for Mishpat during the daytime only, Sa'af Kan Bayom. So too Hashkar Sota should be only during the daytime. So it's, that's how we know that Sota is Bayom and not Balayla. Then the Mishpat said Ula Arifas Egla, that Kol Hayom is cautioned to do the Egla Arufa procedure. How do I know Arifas Egla can only be done Bayom? Sa'ami Dvei Rabbi Yanai Kapar. The parsha of Egla Arufa, it says v'nichaper lahem adam, and so you call an Egla Arufa kapara. So we learn that it has the same din as kachim, and kachim karbonos are only brought during the day. So it must be that Egla Arufa is also only done during the day. Ule taras hamitzora, for taras hamitzora, also the process of being matar mitzora is only during the day. How do I know that? D'chsiv zos tia taras hamitzora biyom taraso. So that it's only done during the day. Then we said that all night is kosher for Ketzir Somer. If you recall, the Mishnah only found two examples of mitzvos that are specifically supposed to be done during the night and are therefore kosher Kol Halayla, and they were Ketziras HaOmer and Hekter Chalavim Ve'Evarim. So how do I know that Ketziras HaOmer is done at night, Amar Mar? Because the Braisa tells us in Maseches Menachos, Ketzira Usvira Balayla. The Ketzira of the Karban HaOmer, that would come from Saorim, that's a Karban HaOmer comes from barley, and the Svira, the beginning of Ketziras HaOmer, is Balayla, happens on the night of Motzai Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, on the night of the second day of Pesach, because we learn from the Pasuk, it says, Shevesh HaBalayla, Shabbosos Tamimos Tiyena, they're only going to be Tamimos if you begin already that night before, on the night of the second night of Pesach. And the Sfira begins at the Zman HaKetzira. How do I know that? Because it's a Pasuk. Me'achel Chermesh Bekama Tachel Lispar Sheva Shavuos. So the Ketzira and the Sfira must be done at night, but Vahava'a Bayom, the actual bringing of the Korban Omer, that's done on the daytime of the second day of Pesach. Right? The bringing of the Korban Omer is what's Matir, the Tvua Chadasha. That's what allows us to eat Chadash. Prior to the bringing of the Korban Omer, you're not allowed to eat Chadash. That's why Bizman HaZeh, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, really Me'ikra Din on the Daraisa level, it is the Mishahera Yom. As soon as it becomes morning on the second day of Pesach, on the Daraisa level, the Chadash becomes Mutter. But we're afraid that if we allow the Chadash, Mishahera Yom, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us that if we allow the Chadash to be eaten as soon as the sun rises in the morning, then next year when we have a Beis HaMikdash, people are going to think that already for breakfast they're allowed to eat Chadash, but that's not true. They really have to wait till the Korban Omer is brought, because the Korban Omer is Matir the Tvua Chadasha. So that's why Rabbi Yochum ben Zakkai made a takana sheyom hanef kulo aser, that the entire day of the second day of Pesach you're still not allowed to eat the Chadash. So anyway, the actual bringing of the Korban Omer is done during the day. Well, hektar chalav ve'varim, we said hektar chalav ve'varim, the burning of the limbs and the fats of that day's korbanos are done at night. Tichsiv kalalayla aboker, because the pasuk says zos toros holi yolam lotal mizbech kalalayla aboker, that the burning of the fats and the limbs on the mizbech is kalalayla, is all night until the next morning. So once we identify all of those mitzvahs that are done only during the day, and both of those mitzvahs that are done only during the night, why does the Mishnah then have to say zehaklal? Zehaklal. The rule is, davar shemitzvos v'yom kasher kol hayom. Zehaklal asuyemai. What is being included by saying this rule after we already identified everything that's done during the day? So lasuye sidur bezichin v'siluk bezichin. It's coming to include the two spoonsful of lavona, of the spice called lavona, that would be brought together with the lechem apanim, and they would arrange it next to the lechem on the shulchan, and for each row of lechem, they would have one of these spoons of levona. And when they would be mesada the lechem apanim, they would be mesada the bezichei levona together with it. And when they would remove the lechem apanim from the shulchan a week later, they would remove the bezichei levona with it. So the arranging and the removal of the bezichei levona can only be done during the daytime. And that's what's included by the zehaklal uk'Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, our Mishnah is taking a stance. It's saying that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Titanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Silek es Yeshana Shachris, Visider es Chadasha Arvis, Ein Bekach Klum. That if a person removes the Lechem Apanim in the morning, but he doesn't put the new Lechem Apanim on right away, he waits until the evening to do so, that's perfectly fine. He did correctly. So the Brisa says, wait a second, then it means that the Shulchan is going to be from morning until that evening without any Lechem, and it's going to be empty. But Umani Mekayim, how am I going to fulfill the Pasuk that says lefanai tamid, that v'nasata al shulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid, that there has to be a sense of tamid with the lechem, that the shulchan has to be always with lechem on it. If you remove the lechem at 9 o'clock in the morning and you don't put anything back on until 6 p.m. so that means all day, that means for 9 hours the lechem the shulchan is empty. How is that going to be considered tamid? So shloye shulchan below lechem. So that means it shouldn't be without any lechem. But the Chum disagree with Rabbi Yossi and hold that the pasuk is pshuto, that you're chayv to be mesad the new lechem upon him right away when you're mesalik the old lechem upon him. So according to the Chachamim, the Kohanim would put the lechem upon him while the other Kohanim were removing the old lechem upon him, one right next to the other. As this one was being removed, the other one was being pushed on. The new lechem upon him was being pushed on. But Rabbi Yossi understands not that way. The pasuk tamid doesn't mean that it can't go with a single moment without lechem upon it. It means that the shulchan shouldn't go a laila without lechem. That's what Rabbi Yossi understands that it means. So that's why it says kol shem zaklal davar shem mitzvos biyom is kasher kol hayom. It means you could put the bezicha levona according to Rabbi Yossi whenever you want, sometime during the day. Just make sure it doesn't go through the night without lechem upon it and without bezicha levona on the shulchan. But at any time during the day, you don't have have to rush to do it right when you're removing the lechem apanim from the previous week. That's Rabbi Yossi Shita. The Chum disagree. But then we had another Zach Klal. Davash mitzvah of belayla kosher kalalayla. That anything that the mitzvah is to be done at night is kosher all night. Well, we only had two examples of things that the mitzvah is to be done at night. So lasuye mai. What else is it coming to include that wasn't already mentioned in the Mishnah? Lasuye echilas pesachim. It's coming to include eating korban pesach, which is also done all night. Udalok Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, and that's against the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, who holds that achilas korban pesach is only until chatzos. Titanya vachlas abasur. As a bus of Balaila Zeh, Amr Ablaz bin Azariah, Nemer Khan Balaila Zeh, by Karm Pesach it says Balaila Zeh, Vinemer La'alan, and by Makas Becharos it says Vavarti Beretz Mitzrayim Balaila Zeh. So Ablaz bin Azariah makes a Gzeri Shava Balaila Zeh to Balaila Zeh. Mala Halon, just like Makas Becharos was Ad Chatzos, it was not Ad Chatzos, it was at Chatzos that all the Becharos died, and the point is though it didn't extend past Chatzos, it was only up until Chatzos, so Afkan, so too, when it comes to Achilles Karm Pesach, it's Ad Chatzos. Whereas the Tan of our Mishnah holds like the sheet of Rabbi Akiva that appears in Mesachas Pesach and Mesachas Brachos. Rabbi Akiva's Shita is that it's Nechel Kol HaLaila, that Karm Pesach could be eaten all night long, that you don't only have until Chatzos. So therefore, the Klal, Kol Shem Mesos B'Laila, you could do Kol HaLaila, is going like Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, no, you can't. You can't do Achilles Karm Pesach, Kol HaLaila. You can only do Achilles Karm Pesach Ad Chatzos. So we have a Stam Mishnah that goes like Rabbi Akiva. Does that indicate that we pasuk like Rabbi Akiva? That you have Kol HaLaila? Because you have a Stam Mishnah here in Maseches Megillah that assumes like Rabbi Akiva? So if you look at Tosos, Tosos writes, Mikol Malkom Nira de Halacha Kereb Lazer. Ta'ika Stama Bar V'Psachim Dekai Kavasei. This is not the only Stam Mishnah in Shas. You got to know all the Mishnahs. And there's a Stam Mishnah in Maseches Psachim that assumes like Rabbi Lazer Ben Azariah that you only have until Chatzos, Titnan, HaPesach HaChatzos, Metame Yisei Yadayim, V'chein Mishnah Be'ezum Mekoma. And there's a Mishnah in Parakei Zumakoman, Ustamab Sof Parakamad the Brachos, Kabe Maisu, Balabadam Shorim and Gomliel Mibes Amishta, Amalam Kalba Shamur Kamar Chazos, Mitzvasna Shialam and Shachar, Vilu Achil Psachim Lo Katani, Umuki Lak Rablazab and Azari, Damar Al Chazos, that there's a Stam Mishnah, all there are Stam Mishnahs all over Shas that seem to assume like Rablazab and Azari, Vim Kain, Sarach Limaher, Lechol Matza Belele Psachim Kodam Chazos, Vafilu Matza Shalafi Koman, Sharichi of Matza Bizman. He says, certainly for the Doraisas of the Seder, you got to get all of those done by Chatzos. Okay, the Halal that you can say afterwards, that's only Drabbanan. That maybe you could rely on Rabbi Kiva and do that after Chatzos. But for all the Doraisas of the Seder, they need to be done by Chatzos. In Shulchan Aruch, the Rama says that you should get all Dalim Kosos done before Chatzos. Now that's the kosos of the Rabbanan, right? Dal kosos, we applied the principle of afein hayu bo'os ha'nes. That's why women are chayv in dal kosos, and tosos, the Balei Tosos, right, in different places in Shas, that afein hayu bo'os ha'nes only applies to dinim de Rabbanan, right? Dal kosos is not possible. I mean, we just had yesterday the dal lishonos of Gula and the Kriyas HaTorah, so it's a remez to the dal kosos, but it's not a din da raisa, so it's Rabbanan, but still, we try to be machmir to paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, even for Dal Kosos, even for the Dim Drabanan. Tosos isn't going that far. He's saying just for Mitzvah Staraisa, like Matzah, that should for sure be done by Chatzos. Of course, there's the famous Tanai of the Avnei Nezer, when people are running late and they know that they're not going to get to the Afikoman by Chatzos, so the Avnei Nezer allows for making a Tanai. The Avnei Nezer makes a major assumption. He makes an assumption that the idea that you have to get it done, but that Ein Maftirin Achra Pesach Afikoman is that you're not allowed to eat dessert after the Afikoman, that has to be the last thing that you eat is when does that end? Meaning the next day you're allowed to eat lunch, right? So when does that end? That ain't maftir nachar pesach avikomen. When are you allowed to eat again? Obviously you're allowed to eat lunch the next day. So the Avnei Nezer says the chiddush that it ends whenever the sov zman karban pesach is. So if you hold the karban zman azari that you have until chatzos, so you got to have your avikomen before chatzos, and then you're not allowed to eat anything until after Chatzos. But as soon as Chatzos passes, you're allowed to. That's the Chiddush of the Avnei Nezer. And if you hold the Rabbi Akiva, you have Kol HaLaila, so you have all night to eat the Afikoman, and then once you eat the Afikoman, you're not allowed to eat anything for the rest of the night, until the next morning. So based on that Chiddush, Avnei Nezer says, if your Seder is running late, even though you want to pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, maybe you could do the following. a minute before Chatzos. You see that you're just, the youngest child just got over his bashfulness to say the Manishtana, right? So you're not making great progress. Now, if you're all the way back there, it's too early for the Afikoman. But let's say you're about to start Shulchan Aruch. So your wife worked hard, she prepared a meal, and you're just rushing through. We got to get to the Afikoman. But she wants to serve a whole meal, and people are hungry. People want to eat a whole meal. So the Avdin says, here's what you could do. A minute before Chatzos, say, eat a kazayis of matzah, l'shem, the Afikoman, and make a tanai. That the tanai is that if we pass on the kribbalism and azari, then mitzvah sa'ad Chatzos, this counts as my Afikoman. And therefore, I'm not allowed to eat dessert after this until Chatzos. And then a minute later, when it's Chatzos, now I can eat again. So now I can go eat the whole rest of the meal. And if we pass on the Rabbi Kiva, then this should not be my Afikoman. The extra kazayis of matzah I need at the very end, at 3 in the morning, that's going to be my Afikoman. And the Avnei Nezer suggests that works. A lot of the Acharim are not so thrilled with that Avnei Nezer because they say he's making an assumption. The assumption that he's making is that the Eim Aftirin Achar Pesach Afikoman is only until the whatever you hold is the Sof Zman of Achilas Afikoman. But Mehechitesi, it doesn't say that anywhere. He made that part up. So if you assume that, then the whole deny works. But a lot of the Acharim are not so thrilled with it. One person who was thrilled with it was Rav Pam, Zichrono Livracha. Rav Pam in his Svarim says that you always have to think of Shalom Bayis, and that the Avnei Nezer gave us an opportunity to not rush things when it's going to upset your wife and it's going to upset the children in your rush to do everything. I find that keeping the Seder moving at a reasonable clip is an easier way to engage the children and the adults and keep things going, but not everyone finds it that way. Every family is different. So Rav Pam liked that Avnei Nezer. A lot of other people don't like that Avnei Nezer. Okay, Hadron Lach HaKorei L'Mafreya, that is the end of the second parak, and now we will begin the third parak of Maseches Megillah. So says the Mishnah, Koreis HaMegillah Omed V'Yoshev. You could read the Megillah standing, or if you want, you can read the Megillah sitting down. There's no din that you need to stand for Kriyas Megillah. Kra echad, karua shnayim, yatsu. If one person said laying the Megillah, or two people laying the Megillah together at the same time, we're not talking about taking turns from chapter to chapter. It means two people laying in concert with each other. They're yotze. Everyone is yotze the chiyuv. We don't say that there's a principle when it comes to Megillah of trei kali lo mishtame, that you're not able to hear two voices at the same time. We assume you're perfectly able to hear it. Makam shnagul devar. If there's a minhag to say a bracha after laying the Megillah, then say a bracha after laying the Megillah. B'shalol devarich, lo yivarich. If there's no minhag in the place where you are to say a bracha after laying the Megillah, so don't say a bracha after laying the Megillah. That's all dependent on minhag. The Gemara is going to say an amud beis, but the bracha before laying the Megillah, that's not minhag. That's din. You're obligated to say a bracha before laying the Megillah. So now the Mishnah says, once we're talking about Kriyas HaMegillah, let's talk a little bit about Kriyas HaTorah. B'sheni b'chamish b'shabbos mincha. On Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbos and Mincha, there are three olim to the Torah. In Pachs and Menvein, Mosif and Aleid, you don't do any less than three, and you don't do any more than three, because people have to get to work on a Monday and a Thursday. So to start making Hosafos on Monday and Thursday, that's a good way to make sure that people will get really, really angry. So, and Shabbos Mincha also, we don't do more than three, even though there's no malacha, there's no work that people are getting to, because they were darshan all day in the shul on Shabbos. So when they were laning on Shabbos Mincha, it was already Samach L'Chashecha, Rashi points out, so they didn't have time to start adding aliyos. Ve'in maftirin b'navi, for the same reason, we're also not maftir b'navi at those three times. And another detail, ha'posech v'achosim mitorim mivarek l'fanel l'achreha. The Kohen who gets the first aliyah makes the bracha before the first aliyah. The Yisrael who gets the last aliyah makes the bracha after the last aliyah. But the Levi and all the and anybody else who's in between would not say a bracha on their aliyahs. They would go up to the Torah and they would read from the Torah, but they would not say a bracha on their personal aliyahs. Barosh Chodesh m'chol shemoi karen arba'a. On Rosh Chodesh and Chol Moed there are four olim to the Torah. Ein pachsin men. You can't do any less than four. Vein mosif in alein, and we can't do any more than four. Vein maftirin benavi. We also don't do haftara. Hapusach v'achosim b'torah mevarich l'fanel l'achra. And again, we mention only the first ola. The kohen gets the first bracha. Last ola says the last bracha. None of the guys in between say any brachos. Zaklal kol sheyesh b'musaf veinu yomtov. Anytime there's a musaf, but it's not a yomtov. Like Rosh Chodesh Chol Hamoed, there's a musaf, but there's no isur malacha. It's not a yomtov. So korin arba. That's when you have four olim to the Torah. And b'yomtov, anytime something's also a Yom Tov, then Chamisha. So if it's an actual Yom Tov, where there's an Isra Malacha, then there are five Olim. B'Yom HaKippurim, then there's going to be Shisha. On Yom Kippur, you have six Olim. B'Shabbos Shiva, and on Shabbos, there are seven Olim, because Shabbos is even more Chomer than Yom Kippur, because it's a Chiv Skila, as opposed to a Chiv Kares, if you do Malacha on Shabbos. So Shabbos is even more severe than Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim is, of course, more severe than regular Yom Tov. Yom Tov, if you do Malacha, it's a Los Hasei, it's a regular Lav. On Yom Kippur, you do Malacha, it's an Issa Kares. So each one, based on the Chumrah of the Issa Malacha, gets more Olim to the Torah. So the number of Olim to the Torah relates to our relationship to Issa Malacha, that day's relationship to Issa Malacha. Ein Pochsin Mehen, we're not allowed to do any less than the seven that you call up on Shabbos. Aval, Mosif and Alehen. Not in this rule, but in other places. Mosif and Alehen. You can add more than seven Olim to the Torah, because it's not going to be Bittul Malacha anyway. No one's going to work anyway, umaftirin benavi, and because there's no bittul melacha, so since the time is not of the essence, so we do haftarah of the navi after kriyas haTorah, haposeach vachosim betorah mevarich lefanel lachreha. The first guy says, the first kohen says the first bracha, last ola says the last bracha. No one says a bracha in between. So you may have noted that the Mishnah said that three times, right? The Mishnah keeps on repeating that. So Tosus points out, haposeach vachosim betorah mevarich lefanel lachreha kasha. How many times do you have to tell me that the first Kohen gets the first bracha and the last Ola gets the last bracha and you're the ones in between? I need you to tell it to me. It's true on Monday and Thursday, and it's true on Yom Tov, and it's true on Chol HaMoed, and it's true on Shabbos. Okay, it's always true. So I might think that as I'm adding Olim, I should also add brachas. So that's why as the Mishnah is building up to more and more Olim, it's tells me that no, this is a constant, that the number of brachos remains the same even though we're adding olim. That's how Tosfos suggests to justify why the Mishnah repeats itself. It's interesting, in the previous Tosfos where it talks about being maftir b'navi, at the end of Tosfos he writes, "Vatam she maftir b'mincha b'tainus v'lo b'shachris." Why is it that we're maftir b'navi at mincha on a tainus and not at shachris? He says, "Mishum d'chsiv ba shomru mishpat v'asut tzedaka v'igra t'taniso tzedkasa le'is erev." That the time to give tzedakah is le'es erev. The haftorah relates to the giving of tzedakah. Igra t'tanisa, the time is supposed to encourage us to want to do mitzvah semais and tovim, including especially giving tzedakah, taking care of the poor. That's done on a tainis. Igra t'tanisa tzedakah. So since you're only going to be doing that tzedakah in the afternoon, that's why we're maftir only in the afternoon. It's a big shaila that I discussed, I think, in the last chapter of my first sefer. There, someone who runs a school told me that when they have a tainus, let's say Tzom Gedalia or a Sar B'Teves, and they have a half a day of school and they have to dismiss the students, so if they dismiss the students based on the bus company when the bus is going to be able to come, if they wait until a half hour after Chatzos to daven mincha, they wait until mincha gedola, which is the zman to daven mincha, and only then they do the kriyas haTorah and the haftorah and shmona esrei and chazar shatz and everything, the buses are going to have to get out of there earlier. The kids aren't going to be able to daven mincha in school if they wait to do that. But if they do the leining and the haftorah before, right after chatzos, before mincha gedola, and then they just daven shmona esrei at mincha gedola, then they'll be able to time it where the kids will get on the bus. And the person said, I don't know if this makes a difference, but in the type of school it is, many of the kids are not going to daven mincha otherwise. If we don't have it in school, we always like to assume the best, but we have to keep our eyes open. Many of the kids are not going to daven mincha otherwise. So are you allowed to do the laning of a tainis? So the laning of a tainis is not tully in zman mincha, right? The laning of a tainis and the haftorah of a tainis is tully in l'eis erev. It's tully in being in the afternoon. So there are two ways to look at it. You could say, okay, so once you're at chatzos, it's l'eis erev, and therefore you're allowed to lane. The other way to look at it is, no, you need time to give tzedakah first, meaning the tzedakah is l'eis erev, and that's what triggers the laning and the haftorah, only once the tzedakah is given. So pashtus is in that case, we could be mekel and let them lane a little bit earlier, and then they'll get up to Shmon Esrei in that situation, but read all about it in the first sefer. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Right, we're up to the Gemara. Yeah. Okay. Says the Gemara. Tana. Masha imkin b'Torah. So we said in the Mishnah that you could lay in the Megillah sitting down, but by Kriyas HaTorah b'Tzibur you can't. You have to stand up. Meaning the Balkorei has to stand up. Minani mili. How do I know that Kriyas HaTorah the Balkorei has to stand up? Amar Rebbe Vo. Damakra va'atapo amod imadi. That it says the lashon of amod imadi. So you see that Limud HaTorah is dafka mu'umar. It's dafka when it should dafka be done standing up. There's a question when you're listening to Kriyas HaTorah, do you need to be standing up? So the Shulchan Aruch holds that the Tzibur doesn't have to stand up, only the Balkari has to stand up. The Balkari and the Ola, obviously, because the Ola is really the one who's obligated to learn from the Torah. The Ramah, however, quotes that there are those that are Machmir, and the Taz says that Meikar HaDin should be Machmir, because Moshe Rabbeinu was Shomea the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one that was receiving the Torah. So we're all in place of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu would stand at Kriyas HaTorah. So that's what the Taz Paskins that you should stand. But again, the Shulchan Aruch says you don't have to, and the Rama says Yesh Machmirin. So it's a chumrah to stand. This was an example of Shatta told us that you always have to be cognizant of Yuhara to do things that are chumras that make you stand out among, no pun intended, among other people. So he said if you're a guest in the shul and you see that the rabbi sits for Kriyas HaTorah, you should probably sit for Kriyas HaTorah also. Then you probably shouldn't take on that chumrah to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. But otherwise, you know, it's a perfectly fine chumrah. The Rama quotes Yesh Machmirin. V'amar Rabbi Yavo, Umali Mekrakas of Yev Shala Umro. Rabbi Yavo says, you know, if not for what the pasuk said, we wouldn't be able to say such a thing. Kavayachol Shavakadosh Baruch Hu Bamida. It's as if it's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was standing, which is hard to say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a physical being, and nevertheless, it says like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing. It's interesting. Tosus chooses this spot to discuss the translation of the word Ilmalei. What does the word Ilmalei mean? So if not, or if so. So Tosus points out, Kasha Sheyesh Ilmalei Sheratzel Lomer Ilu Lo. Sometimes Ilmalei means if not, Kigon Acha, that Ilmalei Mikra Kasev. If the Torah didn't say it, then we wouldn't be able to say it. But it's if the Torah didn't say it, Ukagon Ilmalei Igros Rishonu. So like we had in Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, that had it not been for the first set of letters that Achashverosh sent out, that every man is going to be Moshal Bebeso or whatever, every man is going to be ruler over his own house, then the second letters would have caused a big problem. It was only because the first letters were so ridiculous that people said, you know, we shouldn't take the second letters so seriously either. So over there it also means if not. V'chein arbe, and you have a lot of cases like that. V'yeshel mali shirat zlomer ilu haya. Sometimes the mali means if it was. Il mali nagdu al chanani mishal v'azariah. If they would have given malchus chanani mishal v'azariah, then they would have physically brutalized them and assaulted them rather than throw them into a fire. Maybe then they wouldn't have had the courage to withstand that kind of pressure. Because sometimes the pain is stronger than being mosa nefesh, than death. V'chein il mali leviata. There are a lot of places where El Mali means if so. So says Tosus Maishna. The word means two opposite things. If not, if yes. So says Tosus Vomer Rabbeinu Tam Deich Sheish Aleph Besof El Mali Ratzel Omer Ilu Lo Veich Duchsiv El Mali Biyud Ratzel Omer Ilu Haya. That it all depends how it's spelled. I think I mistranslated the other day one of the Ilmaleis. I think we had an Ilmalei about I think it was with Eliyahu and Moshe Rabbeinu, that Ilmalei, that there's a crack when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the cave where they were, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megalu the Shechina. So I think I said, afterwards I was thinking about it, I think I said that Ilmalei, that if there wasn't, if not for the crack, they wouldn't have been able to withstand the great light of the Shechina. It means the opposite. No, if there were a single crack where the light would get through, that light from a pinhole would have been so overwhelming that Eliyahu Navi Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't be able to withstand the Shechina. But okay, I'm glad that I'm not the only one that got confused by Yatosus. Is also by the way that El Mali means different things throughout Shas. So okay, so says the Gemara further now. How do I know that the Rebbe shouldn't sit on a bed and teach the Talmidim sitting on the ground? So Amod sounds like they should be on the same level. From the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, who taught Torah that he learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, until the days of Gamliel, loyal made in Torah el-Mu'umad. Everyone who would learn Torah would always be standing. When Gamliel died, people became more ill. They didn't have the strength. They made them Torah Miyushav, and they would learn Torah sitting down. And that's what it means when it says that Mishmishim Gamliel Kavod Torah became Batal. If you look in Sota, where this is quoted also, so in Mishmishim Gamliel Batal Kavod Torah, it also says Mishmishim Rabbi Akiva Batal Kavod Torah. And over there, Rashi writes Mishmishim Rabbi Akiva Batal Kavod Torah for a different reason, not because people sat down afterwards, but Mishmishim Rabbi Akiva Batal Kavod Torah is because Rabbi Akiva knew how to darshan the crowns on tops of the letters of the Torah, to darshan Tilei Tilim Shalalachos from the crowns on tops of the letters of the Torah. So after he was gone, and no one knew how to do that, so it's Batal Kavod HaTorah. So the Achronim raised the question, well, which is it? Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva did not live simultaneous to each other. So was it Mishmish Rabbi Gamliel is Batal Kavod HaTorah, or Mishmish Rabbi Akiva Batal Kavod HaTorah? So Rav Asher Weiss pointed out that L'chora, there are two dinim in Kavod HaTorah. There's Kavod HaTorah in terms of the physical demonstration of Kavod that you're showing to the Torah, and that's what we're talking about with Rabbi Gamliel, that he would stand up when he learned. It didn't mean they were learning better, it just meant that they were showing a greater outward sense of kavod to the Torah by standing up and learning while in such a position. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, the Kavod HaTorah that we're talking about with Rabbi Akiva, is a Kavod HaTorah of being ma'ayin into the Torah and understanding the depths of the Torah, of really fully understanding how deep the Torah runs. So that's a different kind of Kavod HaTorah, to appreciate the Torah, to appreciate how much there is in the Torah by going into the depths of the Torah. So that's a different kind of Kavod HaTorah of Rabbi Akiva. So both of those types of Kavod HaTorah are important, to actually learn Torah on the deepest level we possibly can. That's a Kavod HaTorah, to darshan the Tilei Tilim Shalalachos from the crowns of the Torah, and also to show an outward respect of Kavod HaTorah. Okay, Kasav Echara, I remember I wrote that in that piece from Rosh Weiss in the Arad Safel, the Zecher Nishmas Dovi Herman, because I was talking about his Hagba was the Rabbi Gamliel's Kavod HaTorah. His Chaburas were the Rabbi Akiva Kavod HaTorah, but both elements of Kavod HaTorah. So Kasav Echara Omer Ve'eshev Bahar. So the one pasuk says that the time that the Luchos Rishonos were given, that Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael that when I go up to take the Luchos Avanim, the Eshev Bahar, I'm going to sit on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Because of Echrom, and another pasuk says, Vanochi Amadati Bahar, that he was standing. So which is it, sitting or standing? Gemara says four possibilities how to understand it. Amrav, Omid Velomid, Yoshev Shona. The first time through learning, he would stand, and then the Chazar Shir, he would be sitting down. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Lo Omid Velo Yoshev Eloshoche. He wouldn't stand, he wouldn't sit, he would be leaning. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ein yeshiva loshon akava. But sometimes yeshiva means that he stays in place, not that he's actually physically sitting down, but that he's not going anywhere. Shenemar v'teishu b'kodesh yamim rabim. It means to dwell, just like pasukas teishu shivas yam. It doesn't mean that you sit in the sukkah. There's a funny Rambam about over las yasin, about the bracha of leishu b'sukkah on the first night. They say kiddush standing up because the bracha has to be over las yasin before you sit. But that's an unusual application. Normally we assume pasukas teishu means that you live in the sukkah, not that you're sitting down. So we are also, and Moshe Rabbeinu says he was sitting on the mountain, he didn't mean sitting, he meant that he stayed on the mountain for 40 days. Rava Amar, Rakos Mu'umad V'Koshos Mu'yushav, that those halachos that were easier to learn, he would learn standing up, but that which was more hard, more difficult and required more concentration, he would do sitting down, where he could apply all of his energy to the learning rather than using some of his energy on standing up. You have a similar discussion in Masechah Sukkah, whether a person is supposed to learn bimitalalta or levar mitalalta. Should you learn in the sukkah or should you learn Torah outside of the sukkah? So one of the ways the Gemara reconciles the stira is it depends what you're learning. If you're learning easy things, maybe then you could be distracted, and you could, you don't have to have as much focus, so you could be in the sukkah even though it's a little cold, or it's a little hot, or you'll be okay. But if you're learning more challenging things, then you need to be in a more climate-controlled environment, you need to feel more secure in order that you could channel all of your energy. So that's the similar chilek. We then said that if one person lays the Megillah or two people lay the Megillah, either way, you're yotzei the mitzvah mikra Megillah. So Tana Masha Inkin B'Torah. That is not true when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah. By Kriyas HaTorah, you dafka have to have one person doing the laning. You can't have two people doing the laning. If you look at Tosos, it says Mikan Kasha the Masha Pirush Rabbi Mishulim Parakamad Babasu Bakomitz Rabba Dishmon Pesukim Shabbatorah Yochid Korei Yosan. That the Gemara says in a couple of places in the end of the first paragraph of Babasu, out of Maseches Menachos that the last eight pesukim of the Torah, a yachid is korei son. What does it mean, yachid is korei son? It means that you don't have a special bal korei, that the Ola reads it, and you don't have a bal korei reading with him. So he says, kasha, because there was they didn't have a shliach tzibur korei imam k'damar hacha. They used to not have a shliach tzibur. It was one guy, the guy that got the aliyah, would always lane. So what does it mean, yachid, that the last eight pesukim was only one guy? Everything was only one guy. And even now, the Balkari and the Ola aren't really reading together. The Balkari is doing the reading because the Ola doesn't know how to do the reading. He says, no. Yachid Koryasan doesn't mean that only one person lanes as opposed to two people laning at the same time. That was never a Hava Amina. He says, Rabbeinu Meshulam is incorrect. Yachid Koryasan in the last day Pesukim means that we don't split it into two aliyos. That the Chasan Torah, right, a shul might have a chah. That for Chasan Torah, we'll split it into two aliyos. Maybe we'll repeat some Pesukim, get three aliyos out of it, and we'll raise more money that way. So for the Chasan, no, Yachid Koryasan means it's one aliyah for all eight Pesukim at the end of the Torah. So by Kriyas HaTorah, you can't have more than one person laning at a time. So Tan Rabbanan, Betorah Echad Kori Vechad Metargim. You have one person being Kori and one person being Metargim. You can't have two people being Metargim because you can't hear two voices at the same time. But by Navi, you could have one person laning and two people being Metargim. You just can't have the Kriyas HaNavi itself being done by two people because we're worried that two voices are not going to be heard. But by the Targum, we could be more Makel. When it comes to Halal and Megillah, no matter how many people are saying it simultaneously, it's perfectly fine. My time, why is it perfectly fine by Halal and Megillah to have so many people saying it simultaneously? Given the Chaviva, Yavi, Datayu, Vishami. Since these are very beloved things, that they don't come up that often, and you look forward to them, so people are going to pay more careful attention by Halal and Megillah. So those things that people are more Chaviv to, that people have a greater Chavivas for, it sounds like Trei Kali Lo Mishtami is not a Metzius. Trei Kali Mishtami is it requires more concentration. Like if you're ever having a conversation with someone across the table, you're at a simcha or something, and your wife is standing next to you, she's having a conversation with the person's wife. So there's a conversation going this way and a conversation going that way. It really depends how interested you are in what the person is saying, whether you hear them. If it's chaviv, so then you have zatayu. But if it's something that's not chaviv, you just hear talks about shaitel and whatever in between the Jets did or whatever, right? Or the shtickle Torah, I should say. Right, so that's that really depends whether yoiv datayu. Magam shnagu levarich yivarich. A person has in a place where they have a minuk to say a bracha on the Megillah, we say a bracha on the Megillah. So Amar Rabbi Loshanu Ela LaAchareha, the bracha after the Megillah is Taliyah Minog. Aval Lefanel Mitzvah Levarich. But before the Megillah, it's an obligation to say bracha. Damar Avidum Rishmol Kol Mitzvah Skulim Varich Aleinu V'Las Yasan. We always say a bracha before a mitzvah. My Mashma Dahay Over Lishan Daktu Mehu. How do I know that over means before you do the mitzvah? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Krab. Pasuk says VaYaratz Achimaatz Derech Hakikar VaYavur Sakushi. When they wanted to tell David that Avshalom died, so they didn't want some Kushi messenger to be the one to deliver it to David. So Achimaatz ran to overcome and to get in front of the Kushi. And the Lashon is that Vayavor. So you see that it means come first. Abaye Amar Mehacha, that we learn from when Yaakov Avinu meets Esav when he comes back from Lavan, that the Pasuk says, Buhu Avar Lefnehem, that he went in front of his wives and his children. V'ibay Seva Mehacha, or it could be a third possibility, that we learn from Vayavor Malkum Lefnehem Hashem Barosham, that Vayavor also means going in front of, going before. Lefneh Amay Mevarich, what is the proper bracha to say before Kriyas HaMegillah? Rav Sheshes He made a bracha that's symbolized by the letters Mem, Nun, and Ches. Mem is Al Mikra Megillah, Nun is Sha'asa Nisim Lavoseinu, and Ches is Chiyanu. I don't know why that's a Ches. Okay, but that's Manach. So La'acharei Mayim Varech, what bracha do we recite after Kriyas HaMegillah? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Harav Esrivenu, V'Adon Esdinenu, V'Anokim Esrek Maseinu, V'Nifalon Mitzreinu, V'Mshan Gemul Cholim Nafshenu, Baruch Atah Hashem Nifal Yisrael Mikol Tzareihem. How Hashem saves us from our enemies. Rava Amar, he says, no, Hakela Moshiach, that the Chasimus HaBracha should be Hakela Moshiach. Amar of Papa, Rav Papa says, ooh, we have a machlokas, what the Chasimus HaBracha should be, Hilkach Nimrinu L'Travayu. So try to incorporate both in the Chasimus HaBracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, HaNifal Yisrael Mikol Tzareihem, Hakel HaMoshiach. That's what Rav Papa, that's what Rav Eliashiv points out in his Sefer on Shas, that when we make a Siyum on the Masechta, we go through all of the sons of Rav Papa. Apparently Rav Papa had 10 sons that were all great Talmidei Chachamim. What was he Zochet to have so many sons who were Talmidei Chachamim more so than anybody else? So he says you find Rav Papa throughout Shas, when there's a Machlokas Amoraim, he finds a way to incorporate both views, that we incorporate that he can't reject any statement of a Talmud Chacham, that if when Gedolei Amoraim tried to say something, he always try to incorporate both views. So what the school that have children of Talmid Chachamim is not so much in how great a Talmud Chacham you are. If Papa was a great Talmud Chacham, so were all the other Amoraim. It's how much Kavod HaTorah he gives to the other Talmid Chachamim. How much honor, because if your child grows up in a house where Talmid Chachamim are honored, where the most honorable thing to be is a Talmud Chacham, the kid's going to grow up thinking, I want to be a Talmud Chacham. That seems like a good thing to be. So that's why Papa was Zochet to have so many children of Talmid Chacham. On Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha, there are three Aliyos. Why three aliyos? Amar Vasi connected Torah Neviim Uksuvim, corresponding to the three parts of Torah Shabbosav. Torah Neviim Uksuvim, Rava Amar, corresponding to the three types of Jews, connected Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim, corresponding to Kohanim, Leviim, Yisrael. Elahad Dani Rav Simi and Pachsamei Asar Pesukim Beis Haknesses. That which we say, they can't do less than 10 psukim by Dabar Ola Min Aminyan. That when that pasuk by Dabar Shalom Moshe Lamer counts as an actual pasuk. So Hani Asara Kenegan Mi. What do these 10 psukim correspond to? Why is it dafka that you need 10 psukim? So Amr Bishop Levi Kenegan Asara Batalim Shem Beis HaKnesses. It corresponds to the 10 people who are always learning in the shul that keep that make sure that there's always a minyan in shul and they're always keeping the spirituality going. Rav Yosef Amr Kenegan Asara Sadibros, Shemar Lamosh Misina. It corresponds to the Asara Sadibros, which in some way encapsulates all of Torah. It corresponds to the 10 ma'amaros that Hashem created the world with. Hey, Ninu, what are the 10 ma'amaros? Vayomer de Bereshis, Hani Tishahavu. If you're going to count every time it says Vayomer and Maisa Bereshis, there are only 9. There aren't 10. So it says Bereshis Nami Maimaru. Bereshis is also one of the ma'amarim. Duxiv, Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu Vuruach Piv Kol Tzva'am. So you see that that's also a ma'amar. Amar Rava, Rishon Shekara Arba Meshubach, Sheni Shekara Arba Meshubach. If you have 10 psukim to split among 3 olim, one of them is going to read 4 psukim. Whichever one you choose to read the 4 psukim, it's all good. Rishon shekara arba meshubach, because detanah b'shloshah kubashah shloshah se'in shabahen tormenes alishcha v'yukasav aleihen aleph beis gimel. The 3 boxes where they would use to pay for the communal karbanos, the one that was the money that came in first had to be favored and taken first. So you see that the first is meshubach. Leidei ez me'an nitra men rishon lakram men rishon shemitzvah barishon. They always take from the first one. Em tzoy that all the candles face the Ne'er Ma'aravi. That which is in the middle is most Meshubach. And Achron Shekar Arba Meshubach Mishum Malim Bekodesh V'lo Meridin, because you always want to be Malim Bekodesh. You always want to go up in the level of Kedusha. Rav Papa Iklal Beknish Dabi Gover V'Kar Rishon Arba V'Shabtei Rav Papa. Rav Papa liked the idea that they would give the first guy the 4 psukim, and then the subsequent 2 guys would get 3 psukim each. But Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow from Ein Pops in the Hand, the Ein Mosif, and everyone have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Thank you.